Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message. You better get your Bible. You better fasten your spiritual seatbelt. We're going to take you to places that you perhaps have never been in your deepest recesses of the mind. We're going into some of the amazing factors that is not being taught in your local churches today about who, what, and where the children of Israel and their destiny, how that they are now in the last days ready to emerge back to fulfill all the prophetic utterances that was programmed or predestined for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, why would we call the children of Israel in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, why would we call them the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Also in the 15th chapter and other scriptures that indicate that Israel had become lost. Even at the time of Christ, 2,000 years ago, and we know through history that in 721, approximately, that the house of Israel was exiled into the Assyrian captivity, and there they were dealt kindly with by the Assyrian brothers out of the house of Noah, and they were released, and they crossed the Caucasus Mountains and became known as the Caucasians. Now, there is a difference between Israel and Judah. The 10 tribes of Israel were the lost tribes. Judah was also carried away captive by the Chaldean or the Babylonian kingdom in 603 by Nebuchadnezzar, of course, and you probably being a Bible student know all of that. But we're going to deal specifically as we start a series on the whereabouts of the house of Israel, the wanderings, the tribe formations, where they settled, what the prophecies indicated, where they would go in time, how that the compass was given in the scriptures of Numbers chapter 2, and how that the Father in His divine covenant wisdom knew that He would make this a mighty people. Now, let's go in the first segment of the Marks of Israel. Tonight our message will be called The Marks of Israel. And we're going to look for those marks. That will be a mark indicator that will reference the things that I'm giving you here about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Remember, two different houses. Now, there is a very, very, very complex mystery in the New Testament. Now, of course, the story begins back in the 48th and the 49th chapters of the book of Genesis in the scriptures where our father Jacob, surnamed Israel later, and of course, Israel was to bear his name. Now, that is in accordance to the prophetic scriptures as we look at some of the characteristics of the lost 10 tribes of Israel when they were carried captive by Assyria in 738 or around 721 B.C. They were to bear Jacob's name, that is Israel. 1 Kings 11, 28 through 30 and 31 through 37, and Genesis 48, as I've already indicated, verses 14 through 16, that they would bear the name of Jacob, Israel. They were to be lost, according to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6, and the scripture that I alluded to in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and of course the 15th chapter that we have discussed in the preliminary. So, they were to be divorced from the Mosaic law, according to Isaiah 50 and 1. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, they were to no longer be keepers of the Mosaic Law. Now, they were to lose their name, that is Israel. They were to be called by another name, and that's in Isaiah 65:15. Isn't that strange that they would lose their identity? And now we have to hunt, we have to look, we have to search, we have to seek. And the Bible said, he that seeks shall find. So we're going to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now remember, I said that there's two houses. I'd like to get into that segment and show you a third, if you will, a third theory or doctrine that we could establish here, that there is a third party that have entered in unaware. And the Bible speaks of that. There are tares that have been deliberately sowed into the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, in the 8th chapter of the book of John, turn there, if you will. Let's get into a Bible study. The Father bless you in all comprehension and all understanding. I'll go through these quickly tonight because we have much, much, much material to give you in the next hour. We're glad to have you aboard. As I've indicated, call a friend and tell them that this message could be, possibly, if you are an Israelite, if you are a lost sheep, if you have been scattered or separated, as the scripture says in the book of Romans, from the commonwealth of understanding of who Israel truly is. Now, even Christ, 2,000 years ago, indicated, as I've already indicated, that there was a people, Israel, that is scattered abroad, and they were known as the lost sheep. And the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, he indicated that as a shepherd, he would in that day, and he fulfilled that when he came 2,000 years ago approximately, he would fulfill the destiny of his appointed destiny, that he would come and seek out a sheep. And he did. But for his trouble, what happened? What was indicated in prophetic utterances in the old parchment, if you will? What was told of us, or told to us by the prophet? How that they indicated that he would suffer and that he would be rejected, as the Bible indicated, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Now the Bible says, Paul said, if they, the ones that rejected him, had have known that he would have been Yahweh of glory, they would not have suffered him to be crucified. But who were these people that crucified him? Why did they hate Christ with bitter passion? Well, we're going to explore those reasons. And this may be unsettling to you if you are a Bible student that hasn't been seasoned with meat. This is a meat doctrine, or a meat program, where we will lay out the meat. We cannot, for the sake of truth and the lack of time that is permitted for us to be on the scene, we have to preach the word. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives in John chapter 8, it says, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the Pharisees, here enters the most staunch opponent of the ministry of Christ. The Pharisees were someone that had taken the chief or the high seat in the Sanhedrin court system, the body of law that was designed to instruct and to regulate the goings and the comings and the doings of the house of Israel and Judah. You see, there's two houses. We are foolish to believe that Israel makes up 12 tribes, and it's not true. Judah, with a miscegenation of Binyamin, make up the other house, and it is a divided house. Why was it divided? Through jealousy, like a family. They fought, and they vied for supremacy or for honor, and they desired to rule over their brothers. Now, this fight goes back for the struggle eons before, even back to the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when there were struggles for supremacy. But it really begins in the Garden of Eden, when there was a struggle in the womb of Eve as she was impregnated with the seed of the serpent, Satan, and the seed of the Son of Yahweh, which would have been Abel. And now let's go back to the 7th chapter of the book of John. After these things, remember, he's teaching. Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, isn't that strange? Why could he walk openly in the northern territory of the 10 tribes positioned in the north in Galilee, and couldn't walk among those who call themselves Jews? Well, that's the big mystery of today, and we're going to inspect and we're going to look into the scriptures for direction. Now, in 69, we believe, the apostle said, that thou art, we are sure that thou art the Christ, or the Anointed One, or in this sense in the Hebrew, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel. We believe that you are. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, the 12 chosen was symbolic of the complete circle with a 30-degree radius times 12 is 360. And so then 12 is the number of complete government. But there was something wrong with the ministry of Christ as he had 12 gathered around him and one of them was a devil. Now, let's find out who that was. Verse 71 of John chapter 6. 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now let's go to the book of Revelations and look at a very, very, very strange, it almost seems out of place here, that there could be a conspiracy in Judah, that there could be someone posing as true Jews or the true house of Judah and are not. Well, let's take a look in chapter 2 and verse 9. I know your works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Are there a people on earth, even as we speak, that call themselves Jewish, and yet they are imposters? They are not. They call themselves Jews, and are not. Could we be deceived today in Palestine in 1948, May 14th, when the mandate from the British government was approved by the United Nations, given a land to the Jews, and the Jews very quickly named this land Israel. Now, why would Jews, who warred with Israel, by the way, we've gotten into this in previous programs, of how the house of Judah and the house of Israel warred against one another, particularly in 1 Kings chapter 17, other scriptures that we could relate, and we'll go into that just in a moment. But why would Christ warn us in Revelation in two scriptures? Now, as the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, the Bible also says that there shall come a seamlight way. Now, when I say seamlight, the Bible says that this seamlight way will appear upon the earth, and all the world will be deceived except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book. So then, the majority of the religious world, this is the sad part about it, because we've got churches all over the land, and I appreciate churches that teach you to not steal and not to steal and not to do these things which are not convenient for the flesh man, to keep him morally fit and regulated. However, they march to the drum of Babylon. This is a 501(c) approach, as government condones this religion and condemns all of it. You see, there's something wrong here, ladies and gentlemen, when truth is excluded and becomes stranger than fiction among these houses that call themselves the churches of Christ. You know, back in the history of the church age, when we begin, let's go back to the first and second century, when we have a very, very light sketch historical approach to literature that's concerning what happened in those days, which now known as the Dark Ages, and you can see why. Because the history of the emerging church and the death of the true church, we find in the book of Revelation also, that the Satan, the old dragon, the devil, sent out a great persecution against the true church. Now, this true church has been driven underground. And for the last 2,000 years, we have practically, the true believers, have had to stay underground or unacceptable to the mainstream of Christianity. This is sad, that we have brothers and sisters who need to come out of us and will not because of tradition, because of convenience, and things of this nature, or the theme right that I've already alluded to. Now, here we are again, Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to read again in the book of Revelation as we are looking again for the collaborating witness of the scriptures that the Jews, they could be some Jews. This is a distinct possibility that there could be those that call themselves Jews and are not, but are out of the church of Satan, or out of the seed, if you will, out of the bloodline of Satan. Here it is again. Revelation chapter 2, or chapter 3, we've read 2 and 9, let's read 3 and 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is there a possibility that there is a group of people that appear as God's people? They stand before you as God's people? They have all of the characteristics and historical benefits of tradition that says that the Jews are God's chosen people, when there is not one scripture to validate that the Jews were the anointed chosen ones to be God's chosen people. Did you know that? Not one scripture. Did you know that there's not one scripture in the Bible that says that Christ was a Jew? Now that may say, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've heard that all of my life. And, well, so have I. I was raised up in a church of Christianity that taught that the Jews were God's chosen people. Now, where did that doctrine come from? It certainly did not come from the Bible. It came from a tradition of people believing with the wrong translations of the English Bible of Gentiles versus Jews. When Christ said himself in the 10th chapter, in the 5th and 6th verse of Matthew chapter 10, go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Israel and Judah were two different houses, and I can prove that in the Bible. And a lot of people think that the Jews are the fig tree people, and that Israel is the olive tree people, and that's not true. We came from the same stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither one of these were Jewish. Abraham was not a Jew. Neither was Jacob. Or neither was Isaac. None of these men that we have listed as our forefathers were Jewish. Well, why would we call then the house of Israel, which descended from the loins of Jacob, why would we call them Jews? When the Bible is telling us here that there are the people that will call themselves Jews and are not, but are liars, and we are afraid or ashamed or dare not to upset the traditional apple cart, if you will, to come in and preach the truth and to expose the deception that the Jews have brought into Christianity. Now, Christianity says, well, the reason that they hate Christ, the reason that they don't like Christ, the reason that they kill Christ was because God blinded their eyes. Have you ever heard that scripture? And you say, well, of course, Pastor Buddy, I heard that many, many times. My question to you and a challenge to you is, please, for the sake of truth, read me that scripture. Where is it written in the Bible that God blinded the Jews? It's not written. What is the true scripture? The Bible says in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, is where we could go. There's other scriptures to verify that, but we would go there in respect to common ground to stand upon, talking about the olive and the fig tree, that the Bible is very distinctively clear on who is blinded, and it don't happen to be the Jews. It's Israel. Blindness in part, the Bible says, in the 25th and the 26th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, blindness in part has happened to Israel in part, not full, but in part. Somebody, a remnant, must by all means keep the light burning for the truth of the house of Israel. Now, straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find the truth. When you find the truth, the Bible says to walk in and find rest for your soul. Now, the two different houses of Judah. Let's examine, if you will. Let me go back to the 8th chapter of the book of John, and let's read a verse of scripture, and we'll talk about the unbelieving rulers. This is in the 7th chapter. I'll read as a prelude to going to the 8th chapter. Here we go into the 7th chapter, and the 48th verse, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on Christ? Was the question of that day. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on Christ? Now, my question to you is, why did Christ pack the cords and chase the money changers and these authorities, these leaders of the present day temple that took Herod 42 years to build? Why did he chase them out and say, you've made my house, the house, my father's house, which is a house of prayer, you've made it a den of thieves? Even at the time of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, Satan had done infiltrated into the upper echelon leadership of the house of Judah and been accepted as God's chosen people when in reality they weren't. Now let's read here and I'll show you why that I can prove that in the 8th chapter of the book of John, which begins with the very fact of a woman taken in adultery. This is an allegory description of the house of Israel. Considered now a stranger and a pilgrim separated from the commonwealth and looked down upon or despised by those who had gained access to the hierarchy, the Sanhedrin, and this is the one that Christ is confronting here in the 8th chapter of the book of John. Now let's read. I'm going to start at verse 33. Well, let me go back to verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, there was a certain segment of the house of Judah that believed on Christ. They believed he was the Messiah. They believed he had the birthright privileges to claim to be who he said he was. But listen. Then he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then the rest, the unbelievers, listen, as they came against him, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then, we shall be made free? Now, what kind of a strange statement is that when we know that history tells us, and the Bible tells us, in the scriptures that I've already alluded to, that the house of Israel and the house of Judah both would go into captivity for their sins and for their disobedience. And it happened and was fulfilled in 721 B.C. and in 565, somewhere in that area, for the house of Judah. When it's already been determined that the house of Israel and the house of Judah were in bondage. Now, who's these people here that say they weren't in bondage? Well, there's a very, very strange, peculiar scripture in the book of 1 Kings, and I've done alluded to between chapters 16 and 17, if you'll go there, you'll see that when Israel and Judah were removed from the land, that there was a group of people that suggested to the king in Babylon that they send down certain priests to appease the population because Yahweh was plaguing the people that the king had put on there and there was no tribute coming back to the land of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his kingdom. And so then, there was a people established in the land as God's chosen people there, and it's true, these people, who we now call Jews, were never in bondage, and that's the ones that Christ was talking about. These are the ones that were really anti-Christ, that literally killed him, and nailed him to a torture stake. Now listen to this. They answered, we be not in bondage to any man. Now listen to what the scripture says. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Isn't that a strange statement for him to counter or to come back with after they said, we've never been in bondage to any man? The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. See, the servant was the house of Israel. And they didn't abide in that place where he placed them because he gave them a prophetic utterance in Genesis 49 that the branches of Israel, the seed line, would go over the wall, go up the mountain, and become a people scattered abroad who would fill the earth as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens. These became known as Caucasians. See, they lost their identity as Israelites. Now, read the rich in history, if you take it from the British Isles, the Western European Caucasians, they're rich in the history of Great Britain, Scotland and Ireland would settle, and a rich history would come forth from these people who had lost their identity called Caucasian. Now we have a history in Scotland of the stone of Jacob. Now who carried this stone and to whom did this stone rightly belong? This is the $64, because this is part of the jealousies and the infighting of the family of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There was to be a departure of the scepter, according to Genesis 49 and 10, from the house of Judah. You see, the house of Judah was never promised anything other than they would be a mighty people. And so they were. And that rulers would come out of the tribe of Judah and the house. But involved in this is the great deception that we're going to really put our finger on. Now, let's go now to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are, listen to this, 37, mark it in your Bible, John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And people say, well, you know, they had to do what they'd done. They were good people, I just didn't recognize it. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible don't call them good people, it calls them devils. And the scripture in Greek, which is just quoted in the English Bible, and we're talking about the gospel, where that when Christ was hanging on the torture stake, he was supposedly said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. The original Greek does not say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. It doesn't say that. Quite the contrary. In the original Greek, and I suggest you get you an interlinear Greek English and compare what Pastor Buddy is talking about. Or just like the Shepherd's Psalm ministry, and I will photograph or send you a photocopy of the text that I'm alluding to here in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. The original Greek says, and ladies and gentlemen, you can believe one thing, some of the more modern Greek interlinears have followed the form and tradition of the English Bible and still got it wrong. But the original Greek says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they did. So here's Christ, openly, even at the precise moment, right before he died, confirming the fact that the people that killed him knew what they were doing for him. And he didn't say forgive them. And he said, well, Pastor Buddy, God loves everybody, and God doesn't hold any. See, we are so gullible with our unique nature of being sheep. We don't have a wolf mentality. You see, a wolf would be set for defense, to guard and to be defensive. But a sheep is naive. He'll stick his nose in any peril or danger without knowing that it's there. And when two wolves sit down and discuss dinner with a sheep, guess who they're going to have for dinner? And the sheep doesn't know the difference. And that's what, as the old saying goes, somebody's eat the lunch, and we have been the lunch of the deception of a people that are master crafters of deception. Satan and his agents, Satan and his seed, Satan and his offspring, remember Christ said, you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. But most people, including the house of Israel, are wandering blind in darkness and being subservient to their own destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sad to say if America stays on its path that it's upon now, in 50 years this nation will be destroyed for its sins, for its sins are now reaching into heaven. We are doing everything that the Bible and the examples, remember the Bible said the law was a schoolmaster, we're doing everything under the heavens that they did back there to bring down the wrath of Almighty God upon them. And the Bible says, through Christ, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. See, days of Noah. Now, let's go back to the days of Noah in Genesis 6. What was happening? Marrying, intermarrying, interbreeding, race mixing. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against the races that are in its true original form. Because that is the beauty and the distinction that God gave them kind after kind. But the miscegenation or the mixing of those bloods creates what we know as a hybrid. Something that God never intended to be upon the face of the earth. And therefore, we have reaped a whirlwind. We have sown to the flesh. We have actually been encouraged to mix our blood, adulterate. That's what adultery is, adulterate the blood. We've been encouraged to do that by evil men, not good men. Good men won't encourage that. If a pure black race doesn't get this message that Pastor Buddy is teaching tonight, then there will be no more pure black race. And we have approximately 16 million blacks in America. We have approximately 18 million already of what we call Latinos or Latin Americans, those that have a Latino blood, some mixture between the two that we just are talking about here, or maybe a combination of others. So then, we have miscegenation as it was in Genesis 6. Now remember, as it was in days of Lot. We had the same thing going on. Homosexuality, perversion, pornography, every imaginable, unimaginable thing has become imaginable. Anything that man has set his evil mind to do, it seems like that the innocent sheep who say, well, what could I do? And they're indifferent. They're couch potatoes. They have something's in the water, ladies and gentlemen. There's not men and women like there used to be. Something has broken our will to resist. We've given in and told, we've been told, and we're being told that the government will do our thinking for us when we are the government of the people and for the people and by the people. But we have laws, liberal laws, that have done away with the Christian God that we know and serve, and our forefathers knowed and served and called upon. We have had that Christian God demoted and the God of humanism set in the temple in his place. There needs to be a Christ consciousness people raised up as Christ cleaned the temple with the cords. There should be also in this last day a Christ conscious people raised up and restore our respect for our races and after time and for its people and for its heritages and for the great God that we serve. Listen to this now. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I know that you're Abraham's seed. Now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, if they were Abraham's seed, that would make them out of the house of Israel, in this case, the house of Judah, and so they had to be God's people. Huh. Maybe there's something missing in the mystery here. Go back to the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis and we'll find out what Abraham's seed, Judah, did that condemned this act. The scriptures condemn it. The scriptures put a curse on it. And the first two sons from the union that Judah had with the Canaanite woman. You see, that's the evil. This is how the Canaanite seed got into the house of Israel and could claim that they were Abraham's children because in actuality, Judah was their father. But they had a Canaanite mother and this was against the laws. This miscegenation was against the laws. Go to Genesis 38. I don't have time to go there. I wish I did. I wish I could take time. I wish I had about a 4-hour time slot to lecture in this series with no interruption, that I could get the truth, basically, over to your traditional mind, if you've been traditional. I know this is strange to a lot of people that's listening to this tonight, but check out Pastor Buddy's truth of the word. Genesis 38 describes how Judah went down and there saw a certain daughter, which was a Canaanite woman that was instructed by the house of Seth, for the house of Seth, the descendant sons that were chosen, to never, and I repeat, never, cross their sea or miscegenate with the Canaanites. Now, who are the Canaanites? That's the question. The Canaanites are the despised of Yahweh, our God, our Christian God, despised and hated the Canaanites. Why? Because they sowed the tares. They would cause our people, the house of Israel, they would cause them to go whoring after other gods or to forsake the covenant God of Israel, because once the blood is miscegenated, then you have the blood of a snake in your veins and you begin to think, talk, and walk because a tree is known by its fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, just as a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. You see what I'm talking about? But you mix the two together. And then you've got a confused man of the individual that is now blood mixed, adulterated, if you will, with good blood and bad blood. You mix those two together, and a little leaven will spoil the whole lump, ladies and gentlemen. That will bring instant destruction upon that seed, for that seed will fall back and die out according to the Bible. It has no promise of inheriting any covenant. But what about these here? He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, verse 37, but you seek to kill me. Now why would the true sheep, the good trees, why would they seek to kill Christ? Because he said he was the Messiah of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Why would they seek to kill him? If there wasn't a miscegenated blood, an adulterated blood people standing there that were now in control, these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the temple that had mixed their seed from the union of Judah and the Canaanite woman of Genesis chapter 38. And that's how they got in. Now, by tradition, now listen to me now, this is before they even went down to the house, the land of Egypt. Now the Bible says that there were three sons born to this union by this illegitimate union that Judah had with the Canaanite woman. Three sons. Now what happened to the first two? Er and Onan. The first one was named Er, similar to our word error in the English. And that was deliberately put in to the Hebrew so that you would get a heads up or an alert that something's wrong with this union that God Almighty does not, did not, and still does not approve of a true bloodline Israelite crossing his blood with any other race. It was strictly forbidden. Now, for the protection of the other races, that they were to stay pure in their originality. Like I say, we are now fast in America becoming a hybrid race of people, not the originals. The originals are fine. There's nothing wrong with the originals. And the originals should take heed, because miscegenation could destroy them. The original blood of all the races could be actually, literally destroyed if enough miscegenation comes in. And did you know what the book of Genesis chapter 6, God Almighty said, if we let them alone, this could very well happen. They were miscegenating their races. They were crossing their blood. And the first world perished because of this tragic event for the happenings or the society that had gone so far astray as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're right back in the dire strait or trouble that we'll need a divine intervention to save the original race. We are going to come down to the point where the original races will no longer be on the earth unless a divine intervention comes in and God could save the original creation. Are you following me tonight? This is meat that I hope that you can eat, that you can learn, you can take heed to yourself, that you can pray and seek the face of a Father. Listen as we go on now. Notice this now. You seek to kill me, verse 40. A man that has told you the truth. Now, what did he tell them that got them so upset? Huh. Well, we're fixing to find out what got their sheep wool. You do the deeds of your father. Right there it is. You do the deeds of your father. Now, he said, if God was your father, you'd love me. You do the deeds of your father, therefore you hate me. Therefore you kill me. And the original Greek said, Father, forgive them not for killing me, for they know what they did. They had a plan to kill him that they could possess the kingdom and climb up some other way. See, Satan's had a seed here upon the earth for a long time. You just don't recognize it. And the very people that claim to be God's chosen people could very well turn out to be, if you do your study and do your homework, the very people that claim to be God's chosen people could be your worst nightmare or your worst enemy. They were Christ's enemy. Then they said to him, listen, here we go. We were not born of fornication. Now, Strong's number 4202, remember, it is mixing of the blood. Fornication is mixing the blood. Christ told them right there that he knew that they were Abraham's sons through Judah, but that their mother was a Canaanite. And therefore, they sought to kill him. They didn't want that out. That had sort of been swept under the rug, and their blood had not been checked. Their pedigrees had not been checked. Their genetics had not been checked, so to speak, until Christ uncovered their sin and renewed the covenant that he gave in Genesis chapter 12 for a people that would stay clean and pure before God Almighty. He would choose them and call them to be his people. This people was out of one bloodline. Now how could Jacob be the father of all the nations? If Jacob was a black man, it would be impossible for all the races, some to turn white, some to turn yellow, some to turn red, and so on and so forth. Impossible. Genetics, kind after kind, will breed kind after kind. But if there is a discrepancy sowed into the blood, then, which is exactly what Satan did in Genesis 3:14, we find that God put the curse on his seed. Satan said, here it is. He said, your father is the devil. You do the deeds of your father. And they right away picked up on that and said, you're accusing us of being fornicators. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God was your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. Right there it is. Cain seed. Canaanite. Judah mixed his seed in Genesis 38 with a Canaanite, and these Canaanites were indeed sons or offspring of Abraham by Judah's blood, but having a Canaanite mother, they were miscegenated and mixed, and he called them fornicators. Ladies and gentlemen, a fornicator will not enter the kingdom. Nothing that has a mixed blood application, only those that God deemed into his covenant will possess the kingdom. This is Pastor Buddy, and you listen to Shepherd's Talk. You would do me a favor and the ministry a favor if you want Pastor Buddy to stay on and bring you some of these truths that's not being preached today. This is the meat of the subject that we're bringing. I'll be doing a series on this very subject. We'll get into in-depth teaching, possibly bringing you things you've never heard, and perhaps you'll never have a chance to hear it again. So you better redeem the time, for the days are evil. Our voice may not be here much longer on 5070-WWCR. So you just join us in our attempt to preach the gospel. We're going to get in a second half of our show next week. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central. We'll be getting back into this very same subject. We'll continue in depth into a three-part series, and then we'll trace the Ephraimite-Judah controversy. We'll get into that. That's a lot of meat into that subject there. I'll take you through that, show you the discrepancies, show you some of the twisted scriptures. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, take heed, have not, or take from. So there must have been someone with the capabilities, and that's the translators. We call them the translators, and the Bible is now being used with a multicultural exchange of Christianity. They turned the God of Yahweh, the true one God of the Christian God, into Baal, Baal's many, Lord's many and God's many. And this is the Shepherd's Call. You're listening to Pastor Buddy. I've enjoyed my hour with you. We love you a whole bunch. Yahweh bless you is my prayer.